All right, let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. Let's begin with a pledge and a prayer and go from there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Right, base.
To the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll offer a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful for this beautiful valley and the mountains and our homes and the opportunity we have to be here and to live here and to enjoy this. We're grateful for the beauty of the earth. We are mindful that as a water district and water board, in this part of our responsibility, it's to ensure we have water and to provide those services in a way that that is reasonable in all of our discussions. And we pray for wisdom, we pray for guidance, and pray for civility and kindness in all that we do, that we might emulate Jesus. And we're thankful for all that we receive from thee, and say it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and do a roll call. Brent, let's do you first.
This is Brent.
Thank you.
Here.
Larry.
Victor.
Oh, is Victor on? Oh, there you are. Yeah. Victor, are you there?
Yes, I'm on. Victor Tayo, present.
Gotcha. Larry, you're next.
Larry Bagshaw, present.
Corey Ellsworth here.
George Rokowski is present.
Sharon Hillman, present.
Okay, we have 6 of 7 and a 7th joining later on. So we can declare a quorum. We're looking for a motion now to approve the minutes of the August 29th regular meeting.
So moved.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet. Anybody want to second that?
I'll second.
All those in favor of approving those minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. All right, those are approved. Let's go ahead and move right into the reports to the board, starting with Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board. Pleasure to be here today. The public online dashboard report for the projects is available. Have some good news on the White Oaks Cedar Meadow project. We have that project completed, pressure testing, and the service has been installed. We still have some of the old system active. It'll be running in parallel with the new system as we're doing a change order to add some additional pipe and get rid of some of the old thin wall black pipe that's under review for permitting and final review and approval. It's on your agenda back this evening. Portals 1 and 2. All of the main line has been installed, and they're installing the last connections for service lines. And they were out there today doing paving. So I'm sure the residents in that area will appreciate the areas that have been repaved. They'll be off for a couple of weeks waiting for a cycle. And then when they come back, they'll be finishing the pavement of all the ruts and the channels where the pipeline was put in. But things are going well from that standpoint. In September, first part of September, we had a pre-bid for the equipping of the USV3 well, replacement well up there for tanks and boosters. We had a good response there, and bid opening will be latter part of October on the 24th. Today we had a site visit from the Water Infrastructure Finance Authority person. They worked with the project team and with the treasurer to review the paperwork, and everything was in order. We took them out on a site visit for the posted required information and also for the portals 1 and 2 and the White Oak Cedar Meadow projects. And they did a site inspection that went very well also. We meet on a regular basis with the district staff and the project team to review issues, and everything is going well. We expect the current portal project to be substantially complete October 31st, and so then we'll be having the change order project commence as soon as we get the paperwork done back over in White Oak Cedar Meadows, and that will go into February for that, and that will conclude the major pipeline replacement projects. And following that, all we'll have is the finishing of the SB3 well and the booster and storage tank there at that location. So all's good and going well.
Good. Anyone on the board have any questions for Paul? Gotcha. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Field operations report, Steve.
I didn't print anything out because it's so small. I just didn't want to use the paper. But this month, and of course we still have a couple days ago, we've gotten 10 leaks corrected. And it's going to be about 76,000 gallons. We still have a few more days to go. We have a new hire, David. He's working out great. He's a great part of the team. So my team of 8, including Jim, is pretty sound, rock solid right now. I was able to finally get the ADOT permit.
Cost you some blood and sweat.
Oh my God, yes. So I had to take it up 87. From, what is that? Where, the Labrador Farm is.
Piper Canyon.
Yeah, up just past the LDS Church, so we can get those 3 meters installed there.
Okay.
Other than that, the girls in the office have been fantastic. I really have nothing to complain about. That's why I didn't print anything up. It's just that short and sweet.
Okay. And the 10 leaks and the 76 is kind of, I'm just trying to remember from previous meetings, that's consistent, pretty consistent and pretty low.
Yeah, I think last month we had only 7. But okay. Some of these leaks are also fixed in Wood Mountain High. That's been, you know, because they don't know.
Right.
Next thing you know, we have to drop everything and go right over to them because they're not high. They don't fix our water lines.
And their construction is about done, right?
Yeah, according to Paul, it should be done by the end of the month, October.
Got it. Anybody have any questions for Steve? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Treasurer's report, Sharon.
That's going to be posted to the website, and I have forgotten my other sheet that I have. A few things I must have printed it out and left it. I attended the ADQ funding seminar webinar the other day for 3 hours with all of the agencies that have funding of any type, technical assistance, grant funds, non-grant funds, USDA. With everybody, all of the big people were there for that. I didn't get a chance to get the slideshow that was presented, so I emailed ADQ and asked them if they could send it so that we can have it for reference. And Christy couldn't make it that day, so then we can have it here and she can review it and that type of stuff. We got the final draft on money from WIFA on the design loan. The design loan is now completed, and it's going to be paid off October 1st with funds from the rest of that USDA loan that we closed and some district funds that we already had in the public funds account. And that's happening on October 1st, so one 36-month loan down, we got the 5-year one still for the rest of the construction. And that's about the extra stuff that I have. I will get this posted to the website tomorrow. In September, I'll have some more details on the loan status and that type of stuff, but for now, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Any questions for Sharon on the treasurer's report? Okay, thank you. Secretary's report?
None.
Thank you. Vice Chairman's report, George.
All right. I put together, of course, updated the graph, and we're still not seeing a significant increase in the actual demand, but there has been a little bit of an increase. But I wanted to look forward a little bit, rather than just look at where we're at now. There was going to be a need for an increased water supply, which SV3 would really make a big difference on. There's future lots are going to be developed. We're going to have to figure out how many lots will be developed in the next 5 to 10 years. The new townhouse demand for 43 units is 62,000 gallons per minute, or gallons per day. The new log cabin, the little cabin demand, is another 760 gallons per day demand, which is almost 100,000 gallons between the two. And that's just those two big projects. Now, if you add 100,000 gallons onto that yellow line on that graph, you'll see we're getting really, really close to a firm capacity issue. And just to remind everybody what firm capacity is, and Paul, correct me if I say anything wrong, please. Firm capacity is the capacity you have when you take your largest well and remove it from the water system. Our largest well is significantly larger than all the rest. So we run at about 1.5 times, I'd say, as a rough estimate. Traditionally, I guess in the original engineering report, they recommend closer to 2, which means that you have to have double the water supply minus your largest well. We're not probably in patient's standard where they have so many full-time people, but we should err to the point of having more water supply because there could be future droughts and there could be issues with other wells that are having problems. So I guess the point I'm making is, if you look at the second bullet I have, if we don't predict the future water needs now, it'll be too late. It takes too long to develop new supplies. So we can't just say we're fine. The bottom line is, if we wanted to get to 2 times firm capacity, that's like a good 300,000 gallons more than we have now per day. So all I'm saying is, we can't rest on our laurels thinking because everything is right now. There's a wave coming in the future. It could be 5 years from now, it could be 10. If we don't start reacting to that wave now, 5 or 10 years from now, we're going to have an issue. So I highly suggest that we figure out a way to develop a future demand profile as far as housing is concerned, so that we know what the demand is going to look like in the future. And once again, the board will need to consider if they're going to continue the meter release plan through 2025 for another year or 6 months or whatever. Right now, it's not a significant issue, releasing 5, in my opinion. I'm just giving you my opinion. But when we start getting these big bangs of the townhouses and stuff like that, it will, because those townhouses will probably be more full-time people and far less. So we're going to see a more significant increase in demand when that stuff hits. If we don't start addressing it now, we'll be in trouble. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Tracking down a couple of these numbers. The sure. 538 current firm capacity, mm-hmm. Do I see that on the graph anywhere?
Current firm capacity, no, not on this graph. I didn't do that graph. I actually have it, but yeah. Firm capacity is 538, which if you look where 538 is, it's close to what we're using now. That's when you remove the well.
I thought we're only using like 250 right now.
No, I'm sorry. It's close to where?
Close to the available well.
Yes, yes.
An available well, that includes our best well?
Yes, includes
and
everything.
Firm capacity excludes it. Is that
right.
The difference between the
that's,
538?
That's right.
And
per our, the engineering reports they originally gave us, they had 1 time firm capacity,
right.
2 times.
Right.
Originally, we were going to go with the assumption of two times, but we would not be able to make those firm capacity numbers. We're about 1.5.
And I think in the discussions around that time, 2x was a ultra conservative number, right?
What is pacing use, Paul? Do you know?
I thought it was 1.5.
2.5x is what the board approved. So.
Okay.
And what pacing use is something like 1.5?
I thought pacing was 1.5, but I'd have to look at that demand report because it's in there.
Okay, so if we stay in line with pacing and we just go to 1.5, which is where we're at right now, we're close to hitting our firm capacity when all these bigger projects start coming along. Never mind, I don't know how many available lots still need meters. I know there's lots of houses being built in my area that don't have meters yet, so we really just need to get our arms around it, is what I'm trying to say. It could bite us.
Yeah.
And when you look in the water model report, it's going to have 2 and it's going to have 2.5. So you can compare the two.
Okay, so it's 2. We're at about 1.5, so we're not very conservative right now.
Okay. Any questions for George on the board? All right, thank you, George. District Attorney's report, Mr. Ween.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the time. I'll try to be brief. There's a few issues just to raise everybody's attention to. I don't think there's any action necessary at this time, but the board needs to be aware of these issues. First and foremost, as you know, there was a complaint filed by, on its face, it seemed to be Strawberry Hollow Property Owners Association, but you know, there's a question if it was that or if it was the individual who signed it. We're not clear, but regardless, we did file a motion to dismiss based on the fact that they did not serve us properly. As a political subdivision of the state of Arizona, there are certain ways that you have to be served, and we don't think that they did that properly. So we filed a motion to dismiss the case. Second, we have a you may have noticed this in the treasurer's reports and some of the invoices that I was contacted by the attorney for the Ponderosa Water Company, and they were seeking a hookup. This has been a long-standing issue, and then you know what happens is periodically somebody gives me a call and says, hey, we want to hook up to the district. My understanding is that the district is, the position hasn't changed, nor is it going to change until there's a rate case and you know there's significant acts that have been done on the other side. None of that's happened. So my understanding is we just sit where we are as far as a hookup to Ponderosa. I have not heard anything from ADEQ or the Arizona Corporation Commission, which governs Ponderosa. So I don't think anything is actionable at this time by the district. The third, we did receive the audit letter to confirm, you know, the books. This is pretty routine. Answered that. The accountants always want to have input from the attorneys to see if there's financial risks they're not aware of. There isn't. You know, we identified that. So the letter on the regarding the eminent domain issue that was provided by the Nosaman group, so but we're okay there. Four, status update on the Gila River adjudication statement of claimants. It is quite surprising that the district has so many wells. We're putting those together. Obviously that is not a urgent matter. We have years to get that done, but it does need to get done. I just didn't want you to think that that's fallen off the radar screen. Been basically putting the documentation together to make sure that that happens and it's completed. It might be done this year, but it's not, again, it's not something where we're setting aside a, you know, other work to get done. It's one of those that we make progress on it as time goes on. If you want to expedite it, you know, we can talk about that. Finally, I had a letter from the Munger and Lund families. As you recall, we sold them property, and at one time they wanted a water meter with that as well. we've answered a couple times that, you know, the property was sold, it's good. We removed the building, as you recall, that was an issue. That's all been done. Now, I've received a letter again that basically they want the meter. And I think we've answered it several times. We'll answer it again. But at the end of the day, you know, even in the last answer we gave them was in April, we attached an email string from Ms. Hillman to Ms. Munger that, you know, clearly showed that, you know, in the sale, it wasn't going to happen with a meter, that the board had not approved that, that that's not what was going to happen. And they decided to purchase the property anyway. Now, obviously, we can talk more about that and look at it, but I think that for the, as it stands now, I'll probably talk to the chair and Ms. Hillman one more time and write a definitive letter to hopefully put that behind us. But, you know, obviously this is one of those issues that it seems like for whatever reason, this community has a few people in it that it just doesn't seem to, you know, move forward on some of these issues that they just continually get repeated and repeated and repeated and come back. So hopefully we can put this in bed. And that's where we are.
Anybody on the board have questions for Steve on those issues? Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Item number 7 is public comments regarding issues not on the agenda. We have two such requests. First one is Raymond D. Dvorak regarding the water model report and 10-year projection.
Yes.
Come on up here.
Good morning, good afternoon. I just have a couple of questions about that report. One is, why does the board need a report to tell them when they turn off a valve in one area, how it's affecting another area? I mean, a common sense plumber can tell you if you run your dishwasher, it's going to affect your shower. And I've noticed that in that report several different times. If you turn off a valve over portal 3, how it affects somebody else, or how one portal is getting overpressure and another is getting now not enough pressure. That should be common sense in that. Yep, a couple other ones is the fact is, what is the percentage of water we're still losing through poorly unrepaired pipes? Because in Strawberry, for 3 years that we've lived up there, I've only seen one pipe replacement project go on, and that's on Strawberry Lane right behind my house. That was the only project in 3 years I've seen any replacement piping going on up there. Now, I mean, if you're happy with losing that lot of money and yet you're complaining about not being able to meet future demands, that's ridiculous. I think that should be addressed right away. And the other one is the fact of, I'm not positive, but I'm understanding that, well, SV3, as was synced, was put in, encased, like almost a year ago or a year ago or more, and according to this report, it's still not online.
Right.
That's telling me you're wasting a casing that's going to rust away before you ever get the thing operational. And you're going to end up spending more money on another casing. Why wasn't that put online at the same time it was sunk and made factor in that? And out of all the projects I've tallied up, it seems like you guys are working on a lot more projects in Pine than you are in Strawberry. But yet you make comments of having to pipe water up to Pine and put in all kinds of check valves and everything else to get it up there, which is understandable. You're pumping uphill. If you put the wells that are up there, repair the piping that's up there, to my knowledge, some of that water could run downhill, which would require less check valves in it, lower the cost of it, stuff like that. It's just, does the board not have an engineer on staff? Because this seems ridiculous. The price I looked at the treasury report, and I understand that all the money you paid out to Sunrise Engineering may not have been for that report, but to pay them, I'm not going to quote a price, but I think it was before I get myself wrong. I don't have it on the top of the stack now. It was up to $100,000+ of dollars to answer engineering questions to me, could be answered in-house by a simple engineer and paying him a salary even versus paying these guys outrageous prices. In a 10-year plan, you guys haven't even answered your 5-year plan. That tells me these problems, the 10 that are on the plan right now for Strawberry and the 16 that are in Arion Pine aren't going to get repaired in 10 years. So how do you ever plan on meeting your requirements that you're saying with condos, houses, whatever going in? It doesn't sound like you're ever going to come to the fact of meeting that at all.
Thank you. First of all, thanks for taking the time to read it and to have questions. I think the protocol is to listen and not necessarily answer those in this meeting, but to take those notes. One of us offline, not in this meeting, but are happy to sit and talk, okay? I'd be happy to. You're up in Strawberry?
Yep.
So maybe just let me get your contact information when we're done. Or it's right there, never mind. Let me take a picture of it real quick so I have it. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Second card is Ruth Newton regarding Ray Pugel development of 87, or whatever it says.
87 and Bowles County Road.
Oh, there you go.
I was informed as of yesterday that Mr. Pugel is now attempting that corner property to be developed for tiny homes again, which is not into my liking, as you can tell from my voice probably. I have fought him on the last one, and actually won and kept him from putting in those tiny homes. From my knowledge, he informed the group of people, who obviously were very few there, because he didn't contact or put it out there for the community to come. He said that he notified those who would be in the 300 feet radius thing. Mm-hmm. His comment was that he was going to use his well to provide water to those, but then I have been informed that he has applied for water meters from this district, and that he is on the list, whether it's up above or below. But 29 mini homes on that corner is not feasible. I mean, as it is, the traffic there, I live down around from that area, the traffic, I can't tell you how many times I have almost been hit by cars coming out of the Old County Inn or the resort that's already there. People park in the middle of the road, etc. So I'm asking the board to slow down, stop water meters going out, especially to these big groups. I mean, a single family home, okay. But these big projects that are going on and only lining one other person's pocket because of what he's putting in my opinion, is ridiculous. And as Mr. Gorkowski stated, if we don't start thinking ahead of time, our droughts are getting worse and they're not going to get better. We have got to plan for this area. I've lived here now almost 28 years. I was never informed when I first moved here that there was a water issue. I found that out on my own. So I think the fact is that we need to let people know there is a water issue here. And I'm not against slight growth, but this major growth stuff has got to stop. We are not equipped in this area for water to have that issue going on. And if there's anything the board can do to stop Mr. Kubel from putting in 29 tiny homes, I would be thrilled. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for saying my name correctly. You see people good for them.
I'm good at those things.
Steve, did you want to add something?
I did. I just wanted to bring the fact up that we are not incorporated this town.
I realize that.
And we can't stop people. We can slow them down because we declared the moratorium, but we don't have the jurisdiction to say no. Mr. Pugo is a different case, but you'll find that out when the board discusses their response to you. I just wanted to point that out. I wish there were things. I live here too. I don't want growth. I don't want the condos. I don't want the tiny homes. I don't want the ones that are there. I'm with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you're
you for
welcome.
Being here. Item number 8. Let's go ahead to 8.1, which is approval of the final water model report. Sharon?
Yes, Sunrise, we hired them 3 years ago to do the water model report, and it also includes not just the water and where it is and the system and how it's built and how it works. It also has all of the meters for the district and a complete GIS system so that staff can locate where a meter is for the customer much easier than they used to be in the past. This is also a report that does plan for the future. There's suggestions of future projects in there and that type of stuff. The report was finalized today. I'll be sending it out. It will get posted to the website once the board approves this. It's a very lengthy report. It's very large, and there's a lot of information in it. It took a lot of time for the engineers to put this together. It's not a plan for what we're talking about with the growth and that type of stuff, but it's a portion going into that.
It's a supply model, right? Versus
it's
the
a
demand.
It's demand and supply. It's both. It's demand and supply. When George was talking about the 2.0 and the 2.5,
right,
both of those are calculated in there as to what the system can do today, what it can do in future plans. Then there's projects in there that they've defined for waterline replacements and possibly not just replacements, but doing a lot of connecting things so the system is more looped, which is what we've been doing with all these projects we've been doing. And then we'll talk about that in this change order that we're going to talk about tonight. That's the big one for looping the system over in an area where it's not looped now. But it's a very informative report. It's very helpful when you can look and see what the system can do and what we need to do in the future.
And just remind me, I've been through it, but I'm not just lately, right? So when you talk about supply and demand, the demand, we talk about 2 and 2.5. Does it make any prediction of new users and therefore demand goes up, or does it kind of, is it static?
It's kind of static at this point, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought so, I just wanted
because
to make
sure. Because it's based on the system as it is.
System as it is,
so
and demand as it is.
The new well going in is not factored into
not
there
factored.
Because it can't be. Until it's in operation, it can't be added. Now, this report can be updated and modified.
Right.
I mean,
and we can act on it in various ways, but
yes,
in terms of it's done and it's available, that's
yes,
what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, I make a motion to approve the water model report. There's no more. There's really, this is just allowing it to be released.
Yeah.
Yes.
I second it.
All those in favor of approving the water model report, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Thank you. Item 8.2 is approval of the annual audit report. Also, Sharon.
Which we just received the final report today. I didn't know we were going to have it for the meeting. But we did get it. I have sent an electronic copy to all of the board members and to our funding agencies and those people. We just need to accept the report as we, there's two audits. One of them is a special audit because of federal funding. The other one is just the operational audit of the district.
And we passed.
And everything was great, yeah.
I make a motion to approve the annual report that we released.
I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Before we move on, let me just comment on that. Thank you, Christy, for all that work. Thank you, Sharon, for all that work that goes into it. This is year number 8 of clean audits. As everyone knows, we have kind of a checkered past further back than that. And having been in finance much of my career and having to sign audits and wait with bated breath on the auditor's returns, it's a huge thing. Should never be taken for granted that we have clean audits. So thank you. Just want to make sure that is said for the record. 8.3, review of the water meter release plan and continuation of the moratorium.
I make a motion to table that until a new board is elected.
I second it.
In case you didn't hear, the idea is to table that water meter release plan. Do we continue it? We'll have at least some pieces of a new board in the new year. The motion is to table it for now. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
I think along with tabling it, just leave the system the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, we're no change to what we've been doing.
Yeah, thank you.
September, we're 13 months.
So basically you're saying make just move the decision from September to November.
Yeah, or January.
January.
We have a...
So the new board...
We've released 65 meters, in other words.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Item number 8.4, $2 million grant from WIFA for a water tank replacement fund. Sharon.
Yes, after I put this together, this is just their brochure. The representative from WIFA was here today and we were talking about it. And unfortunately, we found out that we may not qualify. If we do work in Pine, we may not qualify for 100% grant because the median house income in Pine in 2 years has gone up $10,000. And that's throwing us out of the threshold of qualifying for 100% grant. We'll look at it again, and we may consider this in the new year, applying for a $2 million grant to do some tank repairs, possibly tank replacements, maybe even some waterline replacements, and doing work in both Pine and Strawberry. Then we can combine our MHI and most likely have 100% grant. But we're not gonna do anything up on it right now, it's just the future.
So this is just information?
It's just information.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Paul.
There's over $200 million that's in this bucket, and this is just getting started, and so it is wise to kind of see how it unfolds. We're working, and you have some water conservation grant money that you've gotten. We're working with some other agencies, and several of them are farther ahead in that, but it took months to get the reimbursement process, and so this is really wise. It'll be a good program for you, as the treasurer has indicated, but timing is such that after the first year is probably a great time.
Okay. Well, and these grants are not that you pay up front. These grants work just like the WIFA loans do. We submit the bills and everything, they pay us, and then we pay the contractors and expenses. So I was worried that it was going to be just like the other grant, and we had to pay all the money up front. We just can't commit more than what we've already committed.
Super. 8.5 is an equipment replacement request, and Christy's going to run that.
Okay. All right, so the Case Backo, it's no longer appropriate for field water operations. also looking at that it has a hydraulic leak, which is a persistent leak. That takes quite a bit of hydraulic fluid to keep that baby full, which is a waste, right, because there's a leak. Operationally, with some new things that the guys have done, being able to screen our own dirt, which has saved a lot of money on road and landscape materials, which is great. But the case backhoe, the bucket is too wide for our screening. The machine is too large for many of the areas we want to use it in. They can't haul it on a trailer. It's just not useful anymore. So the field is requesting to sell the backhoe or trade it in and get a front-end loader that's more appropriate. So we have three units that are presented in your packets. They all have the capability of enhancing efficiencies for the district. The one unit, the Vermeer unit, that was a late invoice that came in. The guys did get to test drive this unit to ensure that it can do what we need it to do, and it does. It has other advantages that its accessories are compatible and interchangeable with another piece of equipment that we already have in our fleet, which is awesome. We also anticipate that repair costs and maintenance costs for the Vermeer unit will be less going down the road in the future compared to the other two units. So you'll notice it is not the least expensive unit when you factor in that the other two vendors will take our backhoe as a trade-in. You know, not by much, but with the advantages of the Vermeer unit, we feel that it would be worth it to select that one, even though it's not the lowest bid that we have.
So this, help me, this is a loader, backhoe out, loader in.
Right, so this would be just a front-end loader. Well, I guess not just a front-end loader, in the sense that the Vermeer unit has more capabilities because you can take the bucket and put on forklift arms, or they can attach the street sweeper unit that we have to it. So it has multi-functions. But yeah, there would be no backhoe. There would be no trenching arm. We don't need it. We don't use it. The guys don't like having that large bucket for trenching anyway. As I understand it, they prefer to use the smaller equipment for trenching that we have already. So, you know, a front-end loader would serve the purpose of being able to move dirt, landscape materials, to be able to clean up road sites after leaks, or to continue the operations that we have over here of screening those road and landscape materials and back and returning usable fill material. So that is a compact space that they work in over there. So a smaller front-end loader would serve that purpose much better.
And what do we use to trench now?
We'll use the Kubota,
yep.
Bobcat. We have two smaller units
that we can trailer.
With the smaller buckets.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some instances it's great, you know, if we're tight. In other words, in other instances it's kind of overwhelmed too. We can't get the trench that we want, so we have to take stuff.
Well, in addition to this, the price difference is only like $4,000 difference, even with the trade-in on the Kubota.
That's correct.
And we end up getting rid of the backhoe. But with the advantages of this is it's more compatible with what we already have.
Right.
And can be used in just more than just this. And I wanted to ask Steve, because normally when we get rid of a piece of equipment, we do our own auction.
Correct.
Here. And can we take a piece of equipment to one of the auction houses and have them auction it for us, Steve?
Sharon, I take it you're talking to me. Yeah, you could do that. The law basically says, though, that you have to get, you know, fair value for it. So the law is just basically trying to make sure that you're not taking public equipment and, you know, giving somebody a sweetheart deal because they're your friend or family or something like
right.
that. That's what the law is trying to provide. So you put it to an auction house, something public like that, that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
If you give full, you know, fair value because you know a couple people that are interested, you know, that gets a little less I'm not going to say that's illegal, because it's probably not, as long as you do what is called following a prudent businessman standard. You know, prudent business person. With a piece of equipment like the backhoe, you're probably going to advertise, you know, that and get fair value for it. So auction's probably a good way to go.
That's what I was thinking, because this is a little different than pickup trucks and stuff that we've been getting rid of. This is a big piece of equipment with some issues that it has, and they wouldn't know how to present it to sell it better than we would.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know if as a district we could do that. That's why I asked.
Yeah, no, you could.
So which one does operations block the most?
Operations prefers the Vermeer unit.
They drove it around here.
They did get to test drive it. Yes.
So that's
it's actually the capacity, the field, what the tires.
Yeah.
77,000.
Yeah.
What's the reference on the front to the 300,000 unencumbered?
Oh, that right now is for our large equipment replacement budget is 300,000. We don't have any plans to buy anything else at this time, so you know, all $300,000 of that budget is available to use at this point.
Okay.
I noticed.
I ran out of a little space on there formatting. Forgive me.
Go ahead, Roger.
I noticed the Vermeer unit has a 2-year warranty.
Correct.
What's the warranties on the other two?
I'm not familiar with the Bobcat unit, but the unit from Bingham has a similar warranty for 2 years from the manufacturer.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a good question. Yeah, warranty-wise, they were very similar. And we have equipment that we've purchased through Bingham. We've always had good service through them. Same thing with Vermeer. We have equipment that we purchased from Vermeer and have had good service with them. So we're not worried about any issues on that end.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'm just looking real quick. No, I'll be quiet. But the cab, it's got a cab with AC, right?
Correct.
And it's got the 66-inch bucket and the forks.
Mm-hmm. All three units have an HVAC package and a closed-in cab.
And the bucket, 66, and that's $1,600. If at some point you needed a narrower bucket, then that's an aftermarket thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any other questions. I'm supportive. Anybody have any other questions for Christy?
When are you looking at getting it by?
Tomorrow. Yeah, the Vermeer unit is available right now. The other two units, they have to order, and there is a several-month lead time on the other two units. So the other two units wouldn't be available for quite a while. That Vermeer unit is a surplus stock, which is why they're offering us such a great price without government discounting or a trade-in. So that's something to look at. That price that they're selling it for to us, you know, is pretty neat without all the other things going on.
That's a pretty good rate on freight with the charging.
Absolutely.
There's freight on the others.
Yeah.
So are we looking for a motion to approve the Vermeer unit purchase now?
Yes.
I hope so. Okay. By the way, it was red, so I was just like.
The pleasure of the board.
That's right.
I don't know how much pleasure we get.
Do you want to make a motion, Sharon or George?
I'll make a motion to approve the Vermeer.
I second it.
Thank you.
All those in favor of approving that, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay. That carries.
Thank you.
We'll take a test drive tomorrow, right?
That's right.
No. Kidding.
I got that from the
Jackson.
Got your license.
8.6 is approval of a change order on White Oak Cedar Meadow. Sharon.
Yes. The White Oak Cedar Meadow project has been under construction since April. However, the project is scheduled to stop in the middle of Holly Drive. Therefore, this change order is to continue the water line connecting Mistletoe, where it connects to Mistletoe, and loop it to Manzanita. In addition, Pinion Drive is the same black pipe we've had several breaks a year in that line of pipe. So while working in the area, it makes sense to add these water line replacements to the existing project. It has already been approved by USDA to make these additions. This will increase the project by 2,846 feet 6 inch and and 4-inch pipe, and also 29 more services. We don't have.
We're going to raise cycle, right?
Pardon me?
I think so.
Thank you.
Okay.
Christy?
And the change order really shocked me because the entire project was only 4,500 feet of pipe with a bunch of services and that type of stuff. And this is another 2,800 feet of pipe. So I expected it to be over a half a million, all the way up to 600,000 or 700,000. But this contractor has worked really well with the district now for a couple of years. And he's very conscientious about giving us good pricing and good quality work. And everyone, they're all very well liked, very easy to work with. And I was surprised that it was 440 first. They made a few changes to it, so now it's 429. The fund, we already have the funding for this. It's not like this is going to be additional. And USDA said it was okay to go ahead and add these lines to the project.
So everyone has seen it that needs to see it to approve it. I looked at the water at the plats with Sharon the other day. It makes perfect sense to fill in these gaps to me.
Yeah.
Funding, or funding's available, price is reasonable.
Yeah. And they told us today that they're going to try and be done, even though they've asked for extra time that would run to February 3rd on this. They said that they plan to work on this as soon as it gets approved by USDA. They plan to start work on it right away to try and get this all finished by the end of the year. They don't know what they're going to get into when they get into these roads, so, and we don't actually know what weather is going to be like, but he has made a commitment that he will try very hard to get it done by year end.
Any questions for Sharon?
Paul, do you have any comments on it?
This is a good project, and they're active here, and we know them. You know what you're going to get, and we're seeing some other bids where people are starting from scratch, and numbers are up 20% all across the board, and many of their costs are in line with their previous bids. Only a few items have increased because they had to be.
Feels like a no-brainer.
They're currently doing the Portals 1 and 2 project along with this one that's next to it.
A motion.
I move to approve the change order in the amount of $76,292.
Oh, this 429, Larry.
This one.
Okay. 429,872.45.
I second it.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Grant and Victor. Appreciate you being here. Thank you. That's that one. Item number 9 is identifying potential agenda items for the next board meeting. Any that we want to call out here and now? We can always reconvene that topic as we get ready for that meeting. But it is on October 24th, correct?
That's not. Yes. We have a bid opening on that day.
So,
I'd like to suggest that maybe we, you know, you see a lot of this negativity that's coming in through on the internet. People aren't aware of what's going on. And I'm just wondering if we can talk about a way maybe to improve the way we communicate to the community.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking when Raymond was talking, but I think we decided we have between 60 and 70 miles of line, something
we
around
have,
70.
We now have about 71.
71 and
71.
And as we finish this, as we finish these projects, we will have replaced 17.
17 and a half miles
of our oldest pipe. But that's not your point. The point is we need to get that word out there better, right?
I think so.
Well, the schedule that we just sent out to everyone shows all of the projects that have all been done in Strawberry. The one you're commenting on, Strawberry Drive, there were several other projects in Strawberry done prior to that one. So if you look on that schedule that was sent to everybody, do we have your email?
I didn't print out, I put my phone number on there.
I've got the phone number.
Okay.
So Roger, you want to take on that pickle barrel?
Well,
some ideas?
I'm just saying let's talk about it and see what we can, because you know, we might be able to send out that paperwork, but maybe we should add it to the general meeting just to have somebody give some sort of.
Actually, let's do that. Let me include that in a chairman report next month.
Okay.
Let's work toward that.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would help.
Kind of just a state of the state kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Okay, I like that. Any other topics? Thank you. All right, can we get a motion to adjourn this meeting?
A motion.
A second.
All in favor of adjourning, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. We are adjourned.